Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. Let us now hear the Gospel of our Lord. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, when we think about the season that we're in right now, I mean, and we look at it from two perspectives, both a secular and a Christian perspective. But in each case, there are some words that come to mind. Anticipation, expectation, speculation. What does tomorrow hold? What are we doing next week? What are we doing in a few more days? I mean, what's coming before us? What gifts will we buy when we're thinking from the spirit of the Christmas holiday shopping season? What gifts will we buy? Whose family will we visit? How many days do I get off work or off school? And what is it that I need to get accomplished before the end of the year? And for you folks that like to do the counting, how many days is it before Christmas? Come on, somebody's got to be counting. I had like 10 at the last church that knew exactly. Till Christmas. 33 days. I mean, it's the 22nd, so we got 33 days of Christmas. So you don't have much time to get your shopping done. But today, more importantly than that, and I think you might have it because y'all didn't have that number in your head, so I think we're good. But today, more importantly than that, we mark the beginning of the Advent season. We mark the beginning of a new year. Everybody thinks the year starts January 1, but as Christians, it starts with the season of Advent. It is our new Christian liturgical year. Now, the word Advent, as I shared earlier, comes from a Latin term that means to draw near, to approach, to come closer to God. Now, the concern that we have, though, is that this is a busy time of year. The busyness of the holiday season often stands in the way of those intentional efforts to come close, draw near, or to approach God. The busyness of the holiday season often creates an obstacle when we say, well, we're going to do more Bible readings, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, but in the end, we simply don't have enough time. The world stands in the way of the efforts that we would have to draw closer to God. Now, some might object to that. Some might say, preacher, will I do this or I do that? And that's good. But there are people in this community that still don't seem to get it. There are people in this community that are not preparing to draw closer to God. And perhaps there are some in this church. So what I would say this morning is think back to Advent of 2014. Think back to the 2014 Advent season. How many times did you read your weekly scripture readings that we put in the bulletins? What additional activities did you participate in to draw more closely to God? Did you serve the least? Did you pray for your enemies? Did you forgive those that had wronged you? Did you put aside conflict focusing on love? Did you go to additional worship services or become more active in serving God in a new way? Did you renew your affirmation of belief in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How did you seek to grow more intentional in your faith? So what I would say today is that only you know those answers. Only you know those answers for yourself, and perhaps you know them for your friends and for your family. So what I would say is to beware, be aware, and to be alert. To be aware, to beware, and to be alert. Because the time is coming and we must live a life prepared. We must live a life prepared for what comes tomorrow. Because what we know is that things will change. That things always change. That we are born preparing to die. The end may come today. The end may come tomorrow. The end of the world may come in the not too distant future. Now this first Sunday of Advent is focused on prophecy and hope. A prophecy of what is to come in the future. A prophecy foretold by Christ our Savior as we read the Gospel of Luke this morning. But it also offers a message of hope. A hope upon which we stand. The hope that we have in our heart because of the belief that we have in Christ Jesus. Now some would say, you know, Christmas is about love and happiness and joy and all the feel-good stuff. Anybody started watching the Christmas shows yet on TV? We start watching them and generally they make you feel real good, warm and fuzzy and all that. But there's a stark reality being shared here in the Scripture this morning. You're probably saying, well, preacher, why are we preaching about the end of the world when we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas? Well, we preach about it because the time will come. And unfortunately, what we see during the Advent season so many times is a watered-down Advent, a watered-down gospel with a bunch of feel-good stories and sermon series to contribute to some type of harmonic balance in our lives and our community. But we've got to understand what is to come. We've got to understand the consequences well if we're going to live that life with a quiet confidence in our hearts. The Scripture reveals to us this morning that we do have a confidence and we do have a hope as Christians. But it also presents the reality that an end will come and that we must live a life prepared. We cannot afford to run out of time. This season, this message through Advent prepares us to celebrate a remembrance of the birth of Christ and what Christ meant to every one of us who sit here, what Christ meant to every person in this world. But this message also reminds us that on some day, He will come again. And that there are people in this community that simply are not ready. So I would say, are there those that you know that are not ready? Are there those that we need to pray for? I mean, it was shared this morning, pray for people's souls. And that's a way that we kick this season off. Who is it that we need to pray for? Who needs to experience the redeeming power of Jesus Christ in their life? Who needs to change? Who needs to move to a different place? The Scripture warns us that it is easy to become complacent. That it is easy to become complacent, lulled, or too comfortable with our surroundings or where we are. Especially, we get lulled into a complacency if we fail to take in the meaning of the things that are happening around us. You see, the people in our world go about their business of the season focused generally on what they need to accomplish. Often blind and deaf to those things that are happening around them. We get busy. We get focused on this and we get focused on that. And oftentimes that focus is not the church and is not the gospel. There's so many people in our world that can tell you, well, this is on sale Black Friday at this place, but if you go over here, you can get it cheaper. But when you ask them what the birth of the Messiah meant to them, they'll say, well, I don't know. But they can tell you Target's got a better deal than Walmart on Black Friday. But they can't tell you what hope it is that you have for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's scary. That's the world that we live in today, brothers and sisters, that we have to seek to change. People, especially in this season, they get so busy and they run out of time. Christmas Eve, and you probably know this guy or this lady. I want to make sure that I am being equal here. There is somebody you know, it might be you, that at the last minute on Christmas Eve, you're still trying to finish your list. You're still trying to get everything done. Okay, let's see. Got the Christmas tree cut, check. Got it decorated, check. Got it checked off my list. Now getting it down later and the lights off, that's a whole other story. I've got the lights checked, the fuses replaced. Everything's going to work. If I put stuff up outside, I'm good. I've got a present for this person, a present for that person. I've got a turkey bowl or whatever we're doing. Doing all of these things, and then boom, they're out of time. And they didn't get everything done. They had all these things they wanted to get done, and then suddenly, it's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is Christmas. The stores, or a lot of the stores, close at 6 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, you're done. And you're, oh no, this is a disaster. This is a disaster because I did not get everything done. I didn't get everything done. I ran out of time. I didn't have a chance to finish my list. I didn't have a chance to do the things that I wanted to get done. And then all of a sudden, Christmas is here. Well, think about this scripture that's before us this morning. Running out of time at Christmas on your Christmas list is not a disaster. Uncomfortable, yeah, but not a disaster. Think about this person. A person that's been thinking about changing their ways. A person that's been thinking about becoming more loving. A person that's had a conflict with a friend or a family member that has been saying, you know, I need to go talk to that person. And we need to put that behind us. I need to forgive that person. I need to love that person. Or maybe I've been thinking about doing some things to help me grow more deep in my faith, to understand God a little bit better, becoming a better Christian. Or, you know, maybe I've never accepted Christ in my heart. And maybe I'm thinking that it's now, I probably ought to go talk to somebody about it. Maybe I ought to come to the altar and accept Jesus Christ. Or maybe I ought to go talk to a preacher or a person that goes to this church or that church and see what it means to be a Christian. Or maybe I need to confess some sin in my heart that I've just held on to that I didn't want anybody to know about, and I'm not ready to come to terms with it. What happens if they run out of time? What happens if they run out of time? If you run out of time Christmas shopping, somebody didn't get a present, or you have a five-course meal instead of a six-course meal. If you run out of time with your faith and run out of time about accepting Jesus Christ in your heart, the time comes to the end and you're done. We know what that alternative is. And that day will come. What if there is not a tomorrow? What is it that needed to take place today? Now we, through this scripture, and this is a tough scripture to deal with, we are encouraged to be aware of the suffering around us for a couple reasons. One, we're encouraged to respond to that suffering, to be loving, to offer help, to offer hope, to offer the light of Christ. But we're also, and what Jesus is saying in the Gospel of Luke 21 this morning, is look at what's happening around you. Because that is a sign of God's future coming reign. That will happen in His time and on His terms. Look at the hurt around you. Look at the signs around you. Look at what happens to the signs and the suns, the moon, the stars, the distress among the nations, confused by all this noise and the storms. People are not going to know what to do over because of the foreboding power in this world. But the time is near. If you can't see it, understand the time is near and you must be on guard. Don't let the worries of the non-important stuff get in your way, but focus on what is important. Are there not signs in the world around us today that the world is a broken place? Wars rage on, drugs change life, tragedy strikes the innocent, God's people go hungry, people live in cardboard boxes, world wars are being mentioned, terrorism continues to abound, social injustice and oppression continue to happen. And all the while, there are people that walk with their rose-colored glasses on that still fail to see the frailty of the life in which we live. The signs are there that we must be prepared. Things are changing. We must stay alert. We must live in anticipation. And we must quit worrying about the things that are not important and focus on that need to live right. Brothers and sisters, today we must center our attention on Advent. What it means. What can we do to draw near to God? What can we do to change? What can we do to help others? We have to look at our own lives and say simply, are we okay? Are we ready? We have to prepare. We have to focus. We have to examine ourselves. Know where we need to tweak things a little bit. We must live as a body of Christ that we're called to be. And we must stand ready for the things to come. So as I say all these things, I mean, these words can be quite scary as we try to take them in. But what does it mean? Well, I would switch back to the secular part for a second. We all like to focus on a perfect gift during Christmas. We like to give that perfect gift. We like to receive that perfect gift. If you have received Jesus Christ in your hearts, and brothers and sisters, you've already got that perfect gift. You've already received the best gift you could ever receive. And if you've not, I would invite you to do that today. I would invite you to receive Christ. But the thing is, when we go out here, when we go through the doors of this church, when we become that external church, when we leave here today and go about our business of living, there are people that we're going to encounter that still don't understand. They still don't get it. They might be walking a good walk or living a good show, but they don't understand what it means to have Christ in their hearts. And there are some that just absolutely reject Christ. So if you want to think about what gift you can give, quit worrying about the little things and simply offer people Jesus Christ through the way that you live, love, and forgive. Offer people a hope, a confidence that they can stand on during the time of the coming darkness that is the only hope. Offer them a chance to change. And we do that not by force. We do that not by condemnation. We do that not by judgment. We do that by encouraging others. Offering signs of peace, of reconciliation. Offering love and joy and hope as we walk in the light of Christ during the season of Advent. Brothers and sisters, let us live in the hope that we have, prepared for the prophecies to come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.